met him. I thought I know a lot about America, but he helped me to understand certain things which Malcolm X had written about in his book earlier, but which I fully didn't understand. He had met Malcolm X. Just about he had, anyone you can think of in the struggle in this country, especially of black people, he had met all of them. It's just incredible that you can. Very difficult to figure out anyone who is very well known in black history and he didn't meet. That's how kind of a person he was. But very humble. And you had to sort of dig these things up. You had to talk with him, find out gradually. So one of the basic things he taught me was that, as someone has pointed out already, he didn't speak against any individual or hate anyone, anything like that. But at the same time, he knew, and he gave me proof of that at length. And he used to, I want to speak here too, that racism is one of the really deep aspects of America. It is essential to America, whether it was owing to the slavery times or whether it was owing to segregation and Jim Crow and lynchings, or whether it was because of what they did to the Native Americans. All that was part of it, but how it has percolated down into our times. That was what he was able to convey. And then after that, he became interested in Zionism. And he pointed out that racism and Zionism are connected. In fact, racism is the father, parent of Zionism. If you are a racist, you will sooner or later become a Zionist and you will support what Israel is doing. It's the same mindset. It's not something to do with black and white. It has to do with oppression and mental ideas about thinking that some people are inferior and they should be made slaves, or they should be Palestinians who first were killed by the Israelis, then the Israelis hired them to make their houses. One of the tragedies of Palestine is not just that they're killing the Palestinians. After they had destroyed the Palestinian homes and all, then they hire Palestinians at low wages to go and make their homes. And they get paid by the Israelis. If the Israelis don't pay them, they starve. This is the uttermost, lowest humiliation which has to be suffered. So that's how race works. So he didn't know that, what kind of opposition he would face if he's touched Zionism. So he came to one of our conferences and he spoke against Zionism. And he wasn't really attacking America's Jews or anything like that. And lo and behold, America's biggest Jewish organization, ADL, called the Anti-Defamation League, they put him on, me and him, and I think Brother Badi, on their website, saying that this man is just terrible anti-Semite and whatnot, and he might even be connected to terrorism and all kinds of stuff. So I think that sort of encouraged Brother Dr. Shahbaz to find out more about Zionism. And the more he found out, the more he spoke about it, the more he wrote about it. So they really did a very dumb thing by trying to insult him on their website. There's some things about Dr. Shahbaz which are not well known. Being a very humble and gentle person with everyone, he was also a threat to people within his own community. Because, you know, when you're a very great scholar, but at the same time you're humble, and it becomes a problem for people how to handle you. So as you know that the son of Elijah Muhammad, W.D. Muhammad, became sort of broke the community away from the old mindset and created a Sunnah-oriented, so-called Sunnah-oriented community, in which they all declared that they really follow Allah and His Prophet, and they are not following the old story about Elijah Muhammad and Fard Muhammad. Dr. Shahbaz worked with them, and he was Imam of one of their masjids. So W.D. Muhammad saw him as a threat and started saying things about him, like you might remember Elijah Muhammad said about Malcolm X, which made Malcolm X sort of open to being killed, which the FBI picked up and got him killed later on. W.D. Muhammad sort of put his life in danger. That's how serious it was. That's when he left America and went to Mecca. I think this was Allah's blessing. And they hired him right away as a professor over there. And he taught in Mecca, I think, for a few years, a couple of years at least. And that's when Adat was talking about how he taught the people who lived, sat in different rooms and so on. It was a great blessing. So he came back, and by that time, you know, W.D. Muhammad had settled down, and he had made his position that he had only those people with him who would not think much, you know, just follow him blindly. And W.D. Muhammad even worked for the State Department. He said openly that I get paid by the State Department, but no one would challenge him because the only one who could challenge him was gone. Right? So I noticed that Dr. Shahbaz, when he would get up, you know, we have a faculty meeting at Lincoln University. Where all the faculty are there. That's about 110 people, all professors. You can imagine a room full of 110 professors. And he, and of course, the authorities, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're black or white. The main thing is if you're an oppressor, if you're mentally like that, then you will do bad things to your own people. So he would get up and he would turn around because all the people are sitting over there. And he would say, colleagues, and then he would start talking. And they wished that he wouldn't talk. He would just, it was like he was reading from a book. It was the reason which attracted me from a technical point of view, that his English was perfect. I said, this man is a mathematician professor. How can he speak English like this? How dare he? I was just like, my God, I have a PhD in English, he's speaking as good English, it might be better than me speaking over there. And they just didn't like him at all. And they just got after him. And you know, this is one, for example, if I give the history of Hamas, or if I give the history of Islamic State, or, you know, Taliban, someone can get up and say, oh, he's part of them. He's working for this or that. Same way, they started saying things about him, that he's really some kind of a racist, terrorist, anti-Zionist, and all kinds of things they said about him. And then, as Nazar pointed out, they set up one woman who was sort of like his, almost the age of his daughter, to replace him. Can you believe what an insult was? It's like, oh, you're no good, we're going to put her in. And filed, you know, suit against him and things like that. She's insisted that he does not like women. And I feel threatened by him. Stuff like that. All this people don't know. But they ought to know that, you know, being a struggler is not easy. If you're speaking the truth, you're going to have many enemies, just like you're going to have friends. We have friends here, mashallah. But we also have many enemies. Brother Badi, I'm sure, has many enemies. They know